Yeah, everyone, welcome to Stunker and Audio 1154. This is Jeremy. Joining me on Cinco de Mayo is Mr. Christopher.
Hola.
What's up? Yes, yes.
Yes, hola. I've just come out from a night of drinking. Couple of cervezas or Mexican lagers and a margarita and then some amber bourbon old-fashioned concoction. Because that's what we do in Wisconsin, bourbon old fashions.
Yeah, well, I was also going to say, that's very Mexican too, right? Bourbon's very Mexican.
I guess so.
I'm not gonna be this person, but I've seen enough posts today. Well, you know, this isn't really Mexican independence, and this is just something in America. It is. So shut the fuck up. How's that? So.
And all from upper middle class white people.
Oh yeah, oh, of course. But then it's also, but the other thing is, it's also blaming white people. I was like, okay, maybe at first, but if I go to a Mexican restaurant, I'm not seeing only white people there. So
no,
you know, we're all taking advantage of it. And by the way, welcome aboard. It's about goddamn time you got with the program.
Yes.
and really, what's the harm in it? Okay.
No, there's no harm. There's no harm in so many things.
So one, wearing a sombrero is pretty joyous. If you're not working with one of those things, it's just a silly hat to wear, you know? And it's like,
yes,
it's impractical wearing it inside. So no. Yeah, it's
a funny thing. If you disagree with it, I'm sorry. But you're the reason Trump is president again. For being offended about it. Thanks.
Well, probably. Probably,
yes.
But yeah, no, I always like every single thing that somebody enjoys, there's always a very vocal minority or seemingly majority on social media platforms. And it's like, okay, one, so we don't need one day to day to celebrate Mexican, I'll just put it that way, because the food's awesome all the time.
It is awesome all the time.
Even our American ripoff, El Taco Bello, is fantastic. And I'm not saying that if Taco Bell is the best fast food restaurant, period.
It always does you well. It always does you right.
Well, they have the of course, this is where this turns into Cinco de Mayo, Mexico, Taco Bell. That's how it works in America. But that double crunch wrap meal is perfect. It's $9 and you are stuffed.
It's
like everything. Even like, what is it, like Mother's Day? Well, don't forget those who have lost their mothers. Yeah, that's how it works. Shut up.
I hate Mother's Day, but you know, it happens every year. I can't stop it.
Yeah, well, Valentine's Day, don't forget that
still have their mothers with them, and I hope they have a good day with them. I more hope they appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah, well, not everyone likes their mom. Now, I'm not one of those people.
If you have a justifiable reason not to have a good relationship with your parents, I completely understand that too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, my parents are good. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just that whole thing. No matter what, if you want to try and have fun with something, then people just shit on it.
You're a bad person. You're awful. Yeah, I know.
Now, what is right is it does not get celebrated in Mexico. So. We were actually there. We were at a resort, and they were like, we're having a Cinco de Mayo party. And I was talking to one of the guys there. I'm like, you guys have Cinco de Mayo? He's like, yeah, it's for all the tourists. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So, but it is an awkward feeling sometimes if you put too much thought into it. That you're in, like, we were in Cancun twice for Cinco de Mayo, and like just knowing that it's not a real holiday and they've got everybody who supposedly should be celebrating this non-holiday serving people who have nothing to do with a holiday that we've aped. It's like, okay, this is kind of weird, but
I guess whatever,
but they get everyone drunk and they get big ass tips out of it. So you know what? We're the ones being taken advantage of.
You're goddamn right.
Yep. Goddamn Mexicans. Build beautiful resorts and beautiful oceans and take our money. Son of a bitch. How dare you? How dare you? Ugh. So, So that's how we're starting this show. We're going to talk about corporate greed for a little bit.
Yes, we are.
What do you make of this stuff with TKO coming back to people who have contracts and wanting and making or in some, well, essentially making people renegotiate? I know it's a standard thing businesses do, so we can skip around that stuff, but
I mean it's a bullshit thing to do.
Yeah.
It really is. These people have valid contracts, they're living up to them. If your reason is because you cut off all the house shows and these people aren't working as much anymore, and thus they're not, quote unquote, earning their value anymore, well, that's on you for cutting house shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of who's more valuable than who and whatnot, just you're making so much fucking money. Just bite the bullet until the contract is over. Really?
Yeah. I was just pulling up some stuff here. And TKO Holdings, this is per AI overview from Google, thank you, reported strong full year 2025 results just this past February 25th, 2 days after my birthday, with revenue of $4.735 billion
Jesus Christ.
And adjusted EBITDA of $1.58 billion, exceeding guidance. So UFC and WWE partnerships were a driving factor for the growth. 2026 expected to show significant increases in revenue between $5.675 and $5.775 billion. So they're going to make projected $1 billion more. And they're coming back to people and saying, we need you to take 50% pay cuts.
Yeah.
Now this happens in every corporate environment, by the way.
I know.
And
if you thought we were moving to the right with our with our opening preamble, we're moving back left here because this is absolute insanity. This is. Just,
oh, it is.
This is bullshit. I mean, the way the world is now, and they can say it out loud now. Because we so grew up in a world where you and I especially, we grew up in a world where pride was it was all about maximizing profits at the end of the day, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But pride was taken in how many people you employed or the best deal you could give your customers. There was some pride in that. I mean, some of our formative years were, you know, the peak of $5 footlongs, extra Valiant meals, $5 hot and ready, all that shit. You know, and now, I mean, people can't even afford to eat at Subway anymore, for God's sakes.
I've actually seen they've lowered their prices. They're back. I mean, they're back to $3.99 subs.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if that says that's the foot long, but
that's, I mean, 6 inch.
But that's also if you're the 6 inch, and of course, for getting really good deals, you have to be on their app, and thus you're giving them their data, which they can then sell. You know, that's that game. But yeah, everything just went has just gone so lopsided to, like, people, you're just celebrated now for maximizing shareholder value above your customers and above your employees.
Yeah, like
it's insanity. And there's enough people in this world in this country particularly who like root. It's like people root for, there's people who root for their favorite CEOs, basically.
Isn't that weird?
Like, it is fucking weird.
That
shit.
Is a disturbing, that's a disturbing behavior.
Yes, like, it is.
I am not anti-business. I'm not anti-business making money.
I am not anti-capitalism. I am not anti-free market. Not at all. I just think things need to be regulated or leveled or just pure logic put to shit.
Yeah. So, like, having lost my job after 21 years at a company, now part of it is ignorance on my part, as I've, you know, come to realize I wasn't paying attention and I should have. And I also was just lazy because I was just like, I'm riding this out till I'm done. But I was also working too. I was doing the job they gave me. We went through so many downsizes, layoffs. It was bound to happen. So I obviously won't say the names, but the company I worked for split. One side took this. And then our side went into bankruptcy. And I may have told this before, but whatever, guys. And then during this bankruptcy, the Citibank came in and gave them so many billions of dollars to keep afloat. Well, the billion dollars, I think it was, to keep everything running while they, you know, renegotiate Chapter 11. Is that the one that you renegotiate all your debts? And make sure we all get paid this and that. Well, then during this, they actually, and this is all public, you know, there was a public company at the time. All of this is public knowledge. The heads of our company went to the judge to procure $30 million for corporate bonuses. Now, just to back up, the company's bankrupt. They were given a line of credit to keep the company afloat. And they went to this judge and said, $20 million for corporate bonuses. And the judge has to approve all this. And the judge approved it. So the guy that bankrupted the company essentially got a $5 million bonus. Oh, and then he also got a five-year contract with $1 million signing bonus. So the whole thing's rigged to where workers like you and me were just not part of the club. And I think a lot of these, it seemed like wrestling was immune to this, and it's not. And this is even more egregious.
The crazy thing about the world we live in now is 7-8-digit millionaires, they're not even a part of the club anymore.
Mm-mm.
Like you, if your net worth is under $100 million, it's like you ain't worth shit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how crazy it is.
One of the funniest things we had was, so essentially they brought in some new people eventually and everybody else took opportunities elsewhere. One guy, and I'm not making this up, actually was on his boat smoking a cigar on video saying, yeah, I don't know what's next for me, but I'll be okay. Don't you guys worry about me. And I'm on the call going, I'm not at all. You know, like, if that just shows you. That just shows you how this works. It really is the top guys. And, yes, TKO here is an investor company. They have to make sure their stockholders, their board members, everyone else is happy. But it's also whenever somebody, the private equity firms, this is what it feels like. They buy something, quality goes down, but, boy, their profits go up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what this seems like. I mean, they cut out house shows. They raised ticket prices like crazy. And to their detriment, because they came up 12 and 7,000 people short for their biggest, most advertised, world-renowned event.
Yeah.
But still made money, so they don't care. And then the audacity to come back after they announce all of their earnings and how much people are getting paid and go, all right, you guys have to take less money because your contract's not worth what you're giving us. Well, less opportunities. Also, I have to look at the creative side and go, that's not my fault. Talk to the creative people. If you think my value's not there, well, why is that? Because I'm right here every week doing what I'm assigned to do. And if they don't have it, that ain't my problem. But with a lack of competition, lack of real competition,
real competition,
these guys are screwed. And gals.
Apparently there are people taking up to 50% pay cuts.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to chance it in AEW or independently. And maybe I don't blame them.
It's
if I mean, if you really are not the most materialistic person in the world and you can live just fine off of 500,000 instead of a million, I guess, whatever, but you're kind of fucking the pay scale up pretty damn good here.
Yeah, and this seemed like I was reading. I've been reading a bunch about it today, and I'm always anti bosses, and I just am. It's my. I was actually told by one of my managers I have a problem with authority, and I was like, well, I can't. I don't disagree. You know, I don't understand why people take the side of management like we were talking about, rooting for a billionaire. Like, I don't. I'm practical enough not to blame a billionaire for acting the way they do. I wish they wouldn't, but yeah. But I guess I don't know. I guess I'm kind of side-eyeing some people too. Like, guys, gals, like, we can't let them do this. They can't fire all of us. That sort of thing. But then again, if you're Maxine Dupree, well, I mean, I guess maybe I'm taking that money because there's no guarantee I got somewhere else to go. You know, I just use her as an example. That's all. So I'm not picking on her. But it's also like a Randy Orton. I'd be like, fuck you. You can eat my balls if you think I'm renegotiating. I dare you let me go.
Again, there's things we going on. I mean, Randy Orton has a very sudden shift. Randy Orton's someone who's a very sudden shift out of the picture completely.
Yep, I saw that. I noticed
they're,
that
they're
too.
Saying it's they're saying it's an injury issue, but who knows? I mean, and we can as we get into actually talking about the shows. They're obviously in desperation mode for Cody's next opponent. Because Orton's out of the picture and they've set up no one.
Well,
so,
I mean, they kind of
welcome
finally
to the SmackDown.
Yeah. Wait, so they're saying Randy Orton's hurt?
Yeah, his back, allegedly his back's acting up again.
Oh, well.
And that came up before WrestleMania.
Okay, I did not see that. Oh.
I thought we talked about that when we were in Vegas. I don't remember, though.
No, I don't remember that one. So, one thing. So really, fuck TKO, Mark Shapiro, and all them. Like,
fuck
douches.
Them. I mean, fuck
them. The bad thing is, I still want to enjoy the show.
Yeah. And there's still things to enjoy, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there is. But it just, man, I know it's a dead horse. We're getting, like, well, how many matches are there for Backlash? Four?
Five.
Oh, is there five now? Okay.
There is five.
But, I mean, that's another thing. You used to have 7-8 matches a show. You've halved it. And then you tell people, well, your worth isn't, like, what you're being paid is not worth it. That's your problem, not mine. Fix your problem. You know, and you know they're not going to Roman Reigns. Or probably CM Punk. Or, like, the real top guys, they're not going to them.
No.
Be like, hey, we want our money back. Like, fuck off. No. Like, Punk, he just retire. Like, get out of here.
Right.
Like, Cody, Roman, like, those top guys, they go to AEW in a heartbeat. I think just out of pride. Like, yeah, all right, yeah, here's what we're going to do. So, I mean, not that TKO can, I'm sorry, not that Tony Khan can afford it, let alone where the hell are going to fit everybody. But that's why it was funny. I mentioned this, was it over the weekend? We need a legitimate next billionaire to come in and be like, hey.
We thought we already had that, but apparently we didn't.
Yeah. And it's also, I thought about this before.
He's too busy pushing speedball Mike Bailey. Yeah. I just stopped you right there.
Yeah, I know.
That's his taste. That's who he thinks is going to lead the wrestling business into the new generation.
This is just, this is just one of those conundrum ones, dude. Two years ago, was it two, three? I think it was three, right? Let's see. Yeah,
God,
about three.
It's going on 4 years since Brawl Out. Since the first Punk Incident.
Okay.
It's going on 4 years since that.
So what I'm thinking is...
AEW peaked basically 4 years ago.
Well,
started going downhill.
Well, that was on the Mike Bailey thing. I saw... Yeah. That was when I watched wrestling nonstop from Thursday through the next week or something. Because it was WrestleMania, I had Triller, and I had all the stuff set up. And I was seeing Speedball and Masha Slamovich all over the place. And I was like, Speedball's pretty good. Masha, she's wrong. Pretty good. Hang on. And then I saw him go to TNA, and I'm like, oh, all right, he finally got picked up. All right, he's kind of dorky, but, you know, all right.
No.
And then he just shows up in AEW, and I don't know. Maybe you rubbed off on me, but, man, it's cringe.
I hope I did.
It's cringe. Right. And it's, I don't know if you heard the show where I was just making fun of him. Like, every time he did, he posed. Everything he did, he posed first.
Oh, the stupid cream to shit?
It doesn't matter what it is. If he's on the top rope, he's like, ah! Like, I think I even counted. In, like, a minute, no, in 10 seconds, he posed 7 different times. Or something stupid like that, 30 seconds. And I was like, God damn, just kick somebody. Like, he never used to do this cringy stuff. So I don't know who got in his ear.
I think you're right for it.
But, and then, well, Masha, well, whatever happened to her. So, you know. But, yeah, I saw Speedball's comments. And I've also saw Eddie Kingston's comments about CM Punk. And then there was somebody else. Brody King was talking about AEW WWE. And it's like, guys, shut up. Stop talking about the other guys. Only focus on your stuff. It's just, it's not even punching up. It's shadow boxing. They're not paying attention to you. You're only talking, you're talking in a vacuum. You know, it's just concentrate on your company. And like Speedball going, well, they're sports entertainment. We're real wrestling. No, you're fucking not. Because you don't sell anything. Real wrestling, I was just watching one of the NWA shows where they introduced the new version of the Midnight Express, which I'd never seen before. And boy, Stan Lane was jacked back then.
He was a big boy.
And it's funny how the Big Boss Man was just unrecognizable as Big Bubba Rogers. But it's like, just stick to your lane, shut the fuck up, and make money. And try and grow the company you're in. But they just can't do it. Eddie Kingston's talking about CM Punk still. Shut up. Are you even coming back to TV? Like, is he back?
I don't even... He's another one that was just like... I was never the biggest fan, but I'm just like... Yeah, it is a very shut up thing. Like, and maybe get in the gym or something. Do something else with your...
Yeah.
This is why, you know what, someone like, and I was seeing a Reddit thread that's like trying to speculate on who like the main person was who took a 50% pay cut. Like, you know, I saw like a Finn Balor or a Sami Zayn. Like, yeah, AEW picked them up in a heartbeat, but I'm like, do they really want to go? Do they see the lay of the land and really want to go?
Yeah.
And if they are the type of person who just isn't that materialistic and really doesn't even see the difference between a million and 500,000 or whatever. Is it worth it for them to leave?
Exactly.
And then maybe it's not.
Yeah. And it's also, because I mean, I know, didn't Finn and Sammy just both re-signed a year ago or something?
Well, so, I mean, I the people who were asked to restructure could be anybody. You know,
exactly. I know.
I mean, the two we know of are, you know, Kofi and Xavier, and I have no, and I'm totally with them making the decision they made.
Yep.
I mean, good for them. I mean, I don't know if anyone could really argue that the New Day as Kofi and Xavier has so much left in the tank in WWE.
Yeah.
Not really, no. Yeah.
No, very true, no.
I mean, they really could benefit from a change of scenery. That Young Bucks feud, that quote-unquote, we never thought we'd see can finally happen. They can work with Edge and Christian. They can work with FTR again. They can work Independence Day. So they could do, you know, Woods can do his, you know, his gaming shit, you know, whenever.
That was the one thing that I was not concerned by. That's not the right word. But I was interested in what would happen there. I don't know if he owns the up, up, down, down moniker.
He does not. I'm fairly certain he does not. But so, I feel like that also peaked a long time ago too.
True, but when you've got a brand like that, it still does something. It still gets you indoors as well. So, and maybe he's already got his foot indoors, you know, so he doesn't have to worry about that. But to me, that was like a real concern. Like Kofi seemingly been around forever. Like he should be 80 years old. I don't even know how old he is. But, like, Woods just seemed like the youngest guy. Oh, yeah, Kofi's only 44. Wow.
I wouldn't say only 44, but, yeah.
But, yeah, well, I was just surprising to me. Yeah, well, yeah, Xavier's 39, so. But, I don't know, there's so many weird ways of looking at this whole thing. But, no, New Day for sure, a change of scenery would be fine. It'll be weird. I don't know what they're going to call Kofi Kingston, but. You know, Woods can be Consequences Creed again if you wanted to. Or just Creed.
Austin Creed, whatever. You know? Creed or whatever. Yeah. And I don't think I've ever even heard what Kofi Kingston's real name is.
Let's see. Kingston.
I don't know if I want to know at this point.
All right. Well, let's see. Oh, that's his spouse. Never mind. His first name is Kofi.
It really is? Wow, I didn't know that.
Najee Sarkodi Mensah.
Holy shit.
Yes. So he's a Ghanaian American. So.
Well, yeah, we knew that.
Kofi Mensah. You know, there's your name. Kofi Mensah. That's easy.
Kofi Mensah. Mensah. Yep. Yeah, no,
yeah.
Fine.
So, anyways. New Day's been kind of fumbled ever since they turned bad anyways, and they just the same roundabout feud that went nowhere. And now, like, one of the guys that's really going to suffer is Grayson Waller.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what. That's one. It's just like, again, every release isn't some fucking tragedy. I hate to say it. I know how people react to these things, but I'm like, the business used to rely on people having a run, and it was over, and they went somewhere else, and it was better that way.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people are long in the tooth.
Like, yes, oh yes.
You know, it's like it stinks that Kevin Owens got hurt, but maybe it's good for him.
Oh, you know?
I mean, especially the guys who were just stagnant, and he was one of them. He never won. You know, it's like how many big matches can you have where the guy constantly loses?
Yeah.
And
but he's more capable of reinventing himself than other people, such as his longtime contemporary Sami Zayn, I think.
I don't know. We can talk about it, but Sami seemingly is kind of turning this crowd reaction around.
Yeah, he
can. And it's like, well, all right, he's leaning into it now. And
but they are still keeping it in a little more. All right, it's weird, but do we want to transition to our actually talking about the shows this week into talking about the saga of the Gingerbread Man?
I'm absolutely fine talking about some of the stuff that happened. Yes. It's just to finish out the other one, if you're openly rooting for billionaires against working people, you're the problem.
Yes,
and
I agree.
The problem. It like, yeah, but there's no easy. Well, there's easy answers, but you can get in trouble. You can get in trouble for saying what I would say. So, but we've all thought it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we really just need to get mental patients on our side and guide them like a starving dog. I'll just put it that way. So. And just find the problem and solve it. So, yeah, so the gingerbread problem solved. We'll just go there with it. So, I kind of like the segment. I like the follow-up for the goofiness.
In a Dan Housen world, they're rediscovering their lightheartedness. And you know what? I am okay with that.
Yeah. I don't mind the lightheartedness stuff. Although,
no.
Like, the Dan Housen stuff took a dark turn, but then they turned it around again to make it lighthearted.
Of course. He's got to take his lumps every once in a while.
The Dan Housen thing, just real quick, there's not much to say.
Funny.
He got turned on.
No, it's not.
Well, then Pierce goes...
The segment. We got to talk about the Looney Tunes segment.
All right, so we'll stick with Sammy and the Gingerbread Man first. You're right.
Okay,
so,
yes. We're bouncing all over. I'm sorry, I'm drunk.
That's fine. trying to get into the lighthearted stuff after that other nonsense.
Yes.
Is like,
the thing
is,
WWE is actually doing right, yes.
And that's the problem. Well, Raw wasn't so bad, but like that's the problem. Like, this goofy shit is working.
Yes.
But the super serious stuff has fallen flat. Like, where's the balance here? Like, when are they going to get a balance with it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I don't know. Him destroying the gingerbread man, I actually thought someone was in it. And I'm they're still.
Yes. You would think yes. They're being very still. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, when he knocked it over, I'm like, oh, okay. And just Sami Zayn just attacking. you have this semi-serious wrestler. He did do the jackass stuff, but so he knows how to work these things.
Yes.
And it's just like he's just a grown man. Is beating up a gingerbread costume. Like, what are we doing? After, like, we just had an intense thing with Ricky Starks and, or Saints, depending on who WWE says, and Cody. Like, what a weird dichotomy.
I've got thoughts about that, too. But let's take this now. It was silly, and how Trick, you know, made the save, and then the backstage interview segment where it's just like, The gingerbread man has passed away.
The guy just gives the throat slash, like, yeah, he's dead. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
No. I mean, Trick did, like, make a point of saying that, you know, he's really just upset about how much he paid for that suit.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it was fun.
And then they immediately had a graphic up for the gingerbread man dying, like,
yeah, 2026.
All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, God, it's funny, and then it's how Sammy's playing with Pierce, like you did, like no, they're mocking me. They're mocking me. All this. I mean, it's like
yeah, that's fine.
They're mocking me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's okay. The issue with this feud now is Lil Yachty. He keeping him involved. It just muddies the waters so that it's like we can't complete this double turn while he's still there. Because he comes off like such an asshole.
But the thing is, people are already cheering for Trick.
Yes, they are.
And like Lil Yachty hasn't really done anything except support his friend.
Yeah,
so it's like, well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we'll see where they go with it. I mean, it mostly feels like the double turn has been complete, of course.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, with good reason too. No one wanted to boo Trick to begin with. I mean, the guy's too entertaining. Eventually, people will turn on him. They always do. But what are we doing here? I mean, his music, his entrance. Everything is built in for people to cheer the guy.
Yes.
And then they want to be a bad guy, which never worked. So, yeah. I think they've come through. Rest in peace, Gingerbread Man costume. You know? And I'm guessing Trick is going to beat Sammy. I can't imagine.
Yeah, no. I can't imagine they're going to put the pulp again.
Yeah.
Sammy, and no. I think Trick wins, and everyone moves on after this.
Yeah, at least you would hope. So, but yeah, it's been an entertaining few weeks, and that's cool. Let's not dig it. Let's not bury it in the ground. You know, so we can move to Danhausen.
Yes, of course. The highlight of SmackDown most weeks. Every week for like last like 2 months or something like that. Yeah.
That Looney Tunes stuff, like, if you really dig into how dumb this entire thing was, and that's like the whole thing's dumb, but it works.
That's...
I mean, he put, what did he put, $40,000 in there? Knowing, like, Danhausen's just cheap. You could have put a dollar in there. It would have been fine. And he would be like, oh, a dollar. And that the same thing would have happened. But now he's
free
out.
Free human monies.
Yeah. Now he's out $39,999 extra. And then, of course, as soon as it didn't go off, you're like, you know it's going to blow off in Miz's face. And it did. And you're like, okay, thank you. Like, thank you.
Thank you, Looney Tunes. This is great. Yes.
And then to give Miz credit, he still had that stuff all over his face.
Oh, he did. He looked so disheveled, yes.
Yeah, and like the I was more worried about him getting in his eyes. Like, ugh, that would suck. But the whole thing where he's just choosing Danhausen, I'm like, oh, this is clearly, you know, a ruse. they beat up poor Danhausen, who has no friends. And I liked everything about this, but what cemented it was when he goes to Nick Aldis and he's like, I want the Miz. And he's like, no. He's like, I want Kit Wilson. No, you can have both of them, but you can have both of them as a tag team match. Well, who's my tag team partner? Well, that's the thing. You got to find somebody. Ah, that sounds like work. Like, that's the part that everyone seemingly forgets. He's very nice, very evil, and very lazy.
Yeah.
And that part about it being work, God, that made me laugh.
Oh, God.
Like, this guy has superpowers, apparently, curses people, he's getting paid off, and he's lazy. Like, I don't know, it just struck me the right way when I was watching it, and it still makes me laugh. Because this guy is clearly anything but lazy. I mean...
Oh, no. I can't believe we didn't meet him in Vegas. The amount they had him just walking the street, just walking up to people.
Yeah.
Oh God. That would have cemented that trip. It's the greatest time of my life.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's funny. I'm trying to explain Danhausen to people.
Yeah.
And I was like, this campy vampire monster guy interacted with John Cena, and they're like, what? And I was like, he curses people. He had a midget army. And they're like, are you kidding? So I showed him, like, what he looks like. Like,
No, I'm not going to say it.
What?
No. We'll move on.
Oh. Well, I was just telling about the whole segment. And I was like, the midgets do, like, the dick punch because that is, like, his finishing move. And everything goes wrong. Well... And I showed them what they looks like. They're like, oh, that guy looks pretty cool, actually. And I went, yep, there's your dollars.
No. You have to show it to you. You cannot explain it. You have to show it to him. Because everything he does is funny.
Yes, but I was
literally
like, you know,
everything.
Like a guy gave him $5 to uncurse him, and he was upset that it was in singles. Like, that's just funny. And then the one falls. Yes. Well, now I only have four human monies. Like, it's at his feet and he's too lazy to bend down to get it. Like, God, that's great. I like all sorts of humor that, like, when you get subtle stuff like that, it gets me every time because the gimmick is so over the top, and then there's those little things. So But so now I thought it was I thought that would have been a good way to write Danhausen out for a few weeks.
No, you don't do that. No,
I guess they're just riding this cow till the milk's gone. So, but what else happened on SmackDown? I know Gunther showed up after Cody defeated Ricky Saints.
Right. Yes. So they have Ricky Saints interrupt Cody's promo, do a shtick, challenge Cody to a match. You can tell I'm not enthused by any of this. I've never been a believer in Ricky Saints as Starks. I never really have. And then he goes and has a match with Cody. It's fine at best, and then he loses.
Yeah.
This is one of those I'm gonna be proven right about, because I'm like, this guy ain't it. Sorry, he ain't it.
Yeah, I can see that. I think the big thing's gonna be he didn't exactly set NXT on fire.
No, he didn't.
But no one really does. So, I mean, people coming in don't exactly set NXT on fire. The people who are there do.
No.
Like, Joe Hendry didn't exactly have a great run. He was there a short time. But then Blake Monroe did not. I mean, Jordan Grace, and I know how you feel about her. Like, all the Asian signings didn't really come in and burn the house down. Like, of all the people who made a huge difference that had a good run, Ethan Page.
Yeah.
But he was brought in as kind of like, here you go.
Yeah.
And he worked his way through it. So, I like what he's doing on Raw, too. So, put him straight in the mix in the mid-card with the Intercontinental title. Like, hell yes. So, but I don't know. I watched the match. I thought it was good. But, yeah, it's going to be good. But now what? They were referencing in their AEW match, which was kind of weird. And then, you know, he said, basically called Cody old, and then he lost to him.
Yeah. I don't know where we go from here.
Yeah.
I really don't. And again, I've just never been impressed by his Rock Jr. persona.
Yeah. He had his moments when he was in NWA.
He had his moment.
He had some really good moments, which is why he got to AEW in the first place. AEW had some moments.
Yeah, he had some moments.
And that was it.
He's capable of having some moments, but it.
Yeah.
Then there might be some big fish, small pond issues here.
Yeah, it's funny.
But go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I
was just trying to transition to the Gunther part.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, but, you know, someone who always finds himself in big stuff, and he really who needed to be called upon here. Like, the SmackDown main event situation is absolutely dire right now. Randy Orton is off wherever for whatever reason, maybe injury, maybe something else, and they've put no one in line to be Cody's next challenger. So they had to essentially break an emergency glass to get Gunther over from Raw to give Cody his next challenger.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously don't know every detail, but like I thought it was penciled in that it was supposed to be Gunther and Roman Reigns, but they jumped straight to him and Jacob Fatu, and now they've pulled Roman for all of June because he's not going to Saudi Arabia. And then Brock seemingly retired, depending on who you believe, retired on his own. So it's like, was everything kind of thrown in disarray?
Again, and is TKO's contract issues with certain people having to do with some things? Who knows? We don't know, so I don't want to speculate any further. But it seems like even from where we were the night after Raw 2 weeks ago, a number of things have changed.
Yeah.
And they changed between Monday and Friday, even too. It was with this Gunther thing, because Gunther was supposed to feud with LA Knight on Raw.
Yeah, yes.
Which I presume he was just gonna, you know, beat LA Knight and then end up challenging role when, you know, sometime this summer. Now he's feuding with Cody. And the interesting thing between Gunther and Cody is Cody has beaten Gunther before.
Yeah. Yes, in
Saudi Arabia. So we're getting into the possibility that, yes, it's something that's the Saudi Arabia Crown Jewel Championship deal the first time. So now we're getting into a situation where Cody, where Gunther could end up losing the same guy twice.
And if that's...
Which hasn't happened before. And you can play that up in the build-up.
The thing is, you can't have Gunther lose to him. Or the entire build-up of him beating Cena, AJ, Goldberg, all these people, is automatically out the window. You know what I mean?
But I also don't know if I necessarily see him winning the title.
Man, I know there's a stat that Gunther, majority of Gunther's time has been as a champion in WWE. But I think they've kind of shown that Cody chasing for the title has always been better than Cody with the title.
Well, yes, it has. But at this point, I don't even know if that works. I mean, it does feel like there's a smaller subsect of fans sick of Cody than shows up in the arena.
Oh yeah, dude. We saw the Cody merchandise. I was in the airport in Charlotte when I was flying out to Vegas. There was one kid dressed head to toe in Cody stuff.
Yeah.
And there was another guy just with, you know, American Nightmare shirt, whatever else. And then we saw that family at the restaurant. Like in those badass Cody Rhodes outfits. Which still bugs me. I didn't get a picture with them because those were cool. So it's like,
Cody I just wish Cody Rhodes would wear badass Cody Rhodes outfits more often than his stupid suit.
Yeah. He does look far more comfortable and relatable when he's wearing, like, his tracksuit stuff.
The tracksuits. I don't know why he doesn't just do the tracksuits all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know why someone hasn't grabbed him and shaken him about the suits thing. He doesn't look good in them. It doesn't make him look cool. It doesn't make him... It's not a babyface thing. Stop doing it. But not even Triple H apparently can grab him and shake him and tell him to stop.
Yeah. It was odd enough seeing CM Punk wearing suits here and there.
Oh yeah, but at least he did wear a suit one time, but he also had to go to the Hall of Fame right afterwards.
So right.
I guess we should forgive him.
Yeah.
But this Cody and Gunther is a match now for Cody's title. It's an interesting thing because I don't see Gunther winning, but if he loses this match. Can you put him back into contention against Roman Reigns anytime soon?
No. You have.
You're right. You absolutely, that's what I'm thinking.
You absolutely cannot. Because, all right, so the World Championship was getting over on its own with Seth, when Gunther had it, you know, all the guys had it. And then Roman comes in and goes, they created that title ball. It's like, you just set the title back again by obnoxiously talking about the history and why it's there. Now, I mean, for me, the WWE title is the only, like, legit title. Like, if you're a WWE guy, that's the one you want to win. You know? The World Championship, World Heavyweight Championship, whatever it's called, that's fine. But it's obviously not the lineage of the NWA one. It's not the lineage of WCW one anymore either. And it's like, if you go and don't win the main title, they even called it the undisputed title, and then go, well, I lost, so now I'm going to go after the world title. Yeah, you're showing that title to be secondary. Well, I couldn't get the big one, so I'll go for the other one instead. So. And Gunther doesn't need to win that thing again anyways. So.
No.
It's, you know, present him as the WWE champion, face a company. He's not going to get you in trouble, that's for sure. So, you know, most dangerous thing I've seen Gunther do was shooting the guns. I don't know if you saw that video or not. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I get it.
But, no, it's... you can't have Gunther lose. But what do you do? I guess this is going to be another Saudi show.
Well, we got Italy in between.
Oh, well.
But Roman Reigns is supposedly working Italy, and they don't usually for the B shows have two World Championship matches.
Yeah, true.
So maybe Cody and Gunther's for Saturday's main event.
Ugh.
Those are just glorified Raw and SmackDown episodes now, basically.
Yeah, that's all they are. They're not special. Those aren't on Peacock either, are they?
Yeah, those aren't Peacock.
Mm. I honestly could not remember what's on what. Because we're the only goddamn country in the world that has to deal with this bullshit. So,
of course, yes.
But, I'd like the angle, but, I mean, obviously as a Gunther fan, I'm like, he better win. Because it just seems like a waste of time. If he goes through, is unbeatable, he beats Seth for whatever reason, and then he loses to Cody. And it's like, well, what are we doing here? Unless Cody cheats to win or does something like that, then maybe. And Gunther can be like, okay, you know, the crowd's, I don't know. I just don't see a way out of it. So it's like, why'd you book this stuff? But what else happened on SmackDown? Was that like the big news?
Oh,
I mean, they had, oh, the MFTs are pretty much all gone.
That's pretty much done. I am just so not interested in this whole thing anymore. Like, you're keeping Solo and Tala Tonga around.
I guess Tama's still going to be around too.
I guess, yeah, right.
So I guess Tama and Tala, like, they're Tongan, right?
Tongan, yes.
And then,
so they're considered like family, but they're not literally family.
Okay. Yeah, because there's that when Paul Heyman, it's like, kind of explained, like, no, these guys, we couldn't have these guys come in.
They're all Haku's son. They're all Haku's kids.
Yeah. Which is just wild.
One of them couldn't be the Barbarian's kid, I guess.
But
they're all Haku's kids and two of them are gone.
That's gotta be awkward, right?
Like a little bit, yeah.
You know, your brother gets fired and you're still there, like, oh.
You still got your bills to pay.
Yeah. But it's the other crazy part is Jeff Cobb didn't even make it a year.
No, he didn't really.
But the second he debuted, it was like, uh-oh.
No, just, oh, yeah. It was just an uh-oh. It's a total, he is so short, yeah.
Uh-huh. He's short and stocky. Like,
yeah. And a short, stocky powerhouses don't work in WWE. Ask Taz.
Yeah. Taz looked more impressive than he did. And I'm a Jeff Cobb fan, too. I was excited. Like, oh, all right, he's going to get a chance. Or not. So.
Yeah, I mean. As far as short, stocky powerhouses go, I thought, like, other people do it better than he does, or yes. Shorter, stocky powerhouses. Maybe they're a little taller than he is, too.
I think that was the most surprising part, was how short he really was.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the beauty of wrestling. You can hide that stuff. But once you get to WWE, you're screwed. They don't hide it. So, yeah. But, I mean, I guess he'll go to AEW now and, you know, go back
and
to being Jeff
Cobb. And
he
was kind of there before, but he was, but not really fully part of them. It's a weird deal where he would show up occasionally.
Yeah, but he didn't win either. He'd show up and lose all the time. Oh, that's Jeff Cobb from New Japan. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he lost. Because he brought in as like a Chris Jericho assassin or something, and he lost
something
the match.
Like that, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is stupid. But yeah, I was just dead. I forgot that happened after the show aired, and it was funny because Solo said that my soldiers are gone for now. He said for now, And it's like, well, no, dude, they're gone. Like, so. But yeah, so there's that. There was just that. But all that did, all that Jacob. Oh, they did have the interaction with Jacob and Royce Keyes. I thought that was interesting. I guess to help Royce Keyes get over with Jacob, with the Jacob fans.
I don't really know what that's about.
Yeah, because he didn't show up on Monday. So
I mean, they've had zero Royce Keyes mission statement, anything with him.
Unfortunately,
to get him anywhere. I mean, other than he's maybe gonna feud with Tala Tonga, or have a match with him where he wins. I presume, I would hope.
Yeah, it was weird seeing Tala Tonga actually wrestle. He hasn't really done that too much.
I mean, they for the most part put him over on SmackDown.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I guess he's gonna get a chance. Because tall, but yep. I haven't seen anything there. I mean, I think I've called him the least intimidating giant I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah. I was trying to think of another one. That's why I got distracted. It was like, well, wait. Yeah, no, that's you're right. He's got a look for sure, but nothing that stands out in comparison to everything else. So, but he still has a job. So there's that. And then we can move to Monday, where I thought this episode was actually pretty good.
I had no issues with Raw.
Yeah. I mean, it moved good. The ending segment, just talking. I'm like, all right, we done yet?
Yeah, I mean, I said I'm not in love with this whole thing. I don't love that they're rehashing this bloodline shit. It feels like I don't love that Roman Reigns. I know Roman Reigns' character is not a typical babyface, but does he have to be such a fucking asshole?
Yeah, and it's weird. Like the Usos, like, he didn't like bitch at him for, you know, he sent him to SmackDown, or they said they were going to SmackDown. They didn't really do anything with Jacob.
No.
And Jacob just blew right by him, and he didn't say anything.
2 weeks in a row, Jacob has gotten the best of Roman, and they haven't come out at all on Raw.
Right.
So yeah. I do wonder if something is happening, but I don't know exactly what.
Yeah, because I mean,
I don't think Jacob's winning this match.
I don't know. I think it's too soon. But if you're yanking Roman from everything, there goes your championship again.
But he's supposed to be everything for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah,
including Clash in Italy apparently.
Well, I mean, I guess you could if you wanted to. I don't know. They had a weird setup in the beginning with Seth and Roman. And I don't know if that was just a Triple H nod. Like,
we've seen that over the course of the last 3 years or so. Triple H teases a match he has no intention of delivering anytime soon. And it never, that doesn't happen.
Unless it was like his idea to at least acknowledge that they're on the same show now.
Yeah, it acknowledges that, you know, the part about Seth having no friends and that, mm-hmm. you know, Roman and him still have some tension.
But yeah, so it's like they're pulling Roman from all of June. That title needs to be with somebody.
I mean, Roman has disappeared from once at a time with a title before.
Well, but that's, isn't that kind of proving, like when CM Punk and everyone else talks about stuff, aren't they kind of, isn't, if he does and takes off again, isn't that kind of proving everyone's point, that what everyone's been saying about him?
But isn't Cody not working? Cody isn't working Backlash.
No, but Cody's showing up. I put that in air quotes.
Well, yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. I think for something fresh, if you want to really mess things up, have Jacob win. Have the Usos join up with him.
But then who's the leader of this crew? Neither of them screams mastermind. None of them screams mastermind. It can't be Solo, for God's sakes.
No.
We can't go there again.
Solo's just stuck where he's stuck.
He's just stuck.
They refuse to move him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, whether you like people like him or not, he's literally in the same exact spot since, what, WrestleMania 40?
41. I mean, the crazy part about a Solo is they basically built the company around him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he lost to Cody, he lost to Roman, and
that's it.
There was nothing really left after that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, he's shown, like, these flashes of a huge personality.
He has. I won't say he has.
And then they stick him with this character, and, like, you don't want him to be the third Uso brother, but he is, but you don't want him to be, but at the same time,
no.
he's got charisma to him. So this stagnant stuff they keep doing with him, and maybe that's just what they want him to be. And, hey, you know what? Whatever. Renegotiate his contract to cut him. Like, you know? But but no, it's backlash came up quick.
It does, yeah.
Like, the whole build's been so quick, too, that it's funny. Jacob and Roman, this should have been a long build-up.
Yeah,
not just an out-of-the-blue thing.
It should feel like a bigger deal. And it should be taking more time, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're getting it. So, nice. Not Punk. Rollins and Braun Breaker. That's a legit match. Like, that was the one we all
wanted
to see.
That is a legit match.
And
yes.
I got no clue who wins that one.
I don't.
And
I would say Breaker should win, but Rollins has just gotten his ass kicked every week, basically.
Yes, yes. Asuka and Kairi. No, no.
I mean, Kairi
lost
Asuka
that one.
EO?
Yes, Asuka and EO.
Will Kairi show up to at least finish the storyline? If not, be back full time? I don't know.
Yeah.
That appears to be the rumor. You know what? This could be the sleeper match of the night.
I honestly understand what you're going for, but honestly, it's Asuka and Io Sky.
Yeah.
If anyone says this is a sleeper match, it's like, why would you expect nothing but a great match from these two? I mean, Asuka's a little slower since her knee injury, but still, you'd still expect it to be pretty great. What are the other matches?
Well, we have
Danhausen, obviously.
Which,
I liked your idea of it just being Obafemi.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty
funny. It really should just be Obafemi.
But doesn't it risk Oba looking like a clown, though?
No, I don't think so, as long as he destroys them.
Yeah, all right.
And that
good way to get him on the card too.
But that can't. No matter who the partner is, this match can't last long.
Right.
So it's like, and we with the ESPN 2 deal, we've locked in that the first two matches can't take more than an hour combined.
True. I just had a funny.
So how do we stretch? So with the remaining three matches. How do we stretch this thing to 3 hours plus a John Cena appearance?
Yeah, Hawkins, something that's not going to go over well.
I don't know 100% for sure if it's about Club WWE, but who knows?
He said he wants to make history. Hey, maybe it's in Tampa. Maybe they're going to announce that they're building a Hall of Fame in Orlando.
Maybe.
I don't know. Just an idea. But I think it'd be funny if Danhausen's partner was the Undertaker. It'd just be kind of funny. It won't happen. But, you know, it's like the Undertaker has his magic and stuff. And Danhausen can be like, oh, my God, how do you get this? And, like, Undertaker can just disappear like he did at WrestleMania 40. Where Danhausen has to use a smoke and it just never goes right. Like, you know, kind of like a father-son or father-stepkid. But it won't be that. But what's the other one?
Sammy and Trick.
Oh, yeah. They got to add another. There's got to be.
I don't think
they'll probably have one on SmackDown.
They might, yes, because that Danhausen tag can't last very long, no. So maybe yeah, this might get a sixth match. Who knows?
Yeah, there's got to be something from SmackDown there.
But for SmackDown, they've already made... Well, we didn't talk about any of the women's stuff on SmackDown with the continued push of Toxic Attraction.
To the moon, man.
JC Jane getting a singles pinfall win over Charlotte Flair.
Yep. That'll be a six-man match.
But that's been advertised for SmackDown, if you missed that.
That's right.
That is going to happen on SmackDown. The six-woman tag with Toxic Attraction versus Rhea, Charlotte, and Alexa. Along with, was it Tiffany versus... what's her name? Kiana James. Tiffany and Kiana... Yeah. So it'll be like a women's heavy SmackDown, I guess. Which makes sense because there's only one women's match on Backlash, and it's a Raw match.
Yeah, yes, it would. Okay.
So that allows them to actually have a decent SmackDown lineup, a rare decent SmackDown lineup for a go home show before the night before PLE.
Either way, the idea that there's only gonna be five matches, or maybe just six, like, oh my god. But I guess it's the talent's fault that less matches get on TV now. So, anyways. Let's see. We didn't really cover. Oh, did you see Chelsea Green had a heart procedure done?
Yeah, that was.
Jesus. I know what that's for. My dad had to have that done. So, I don't know when she's going to be able to come back. But it just sucked because she just came back Friday.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, all right, we're on the track. We're not on the track anymore. All right, never mind. But I guess that'll be an excuse used against her for sure. So, but yeah, Raw. What else? Raw continued with the Judgment Day just overwhelming Finn. And this is just one of those instances where I'm like, I hate this. There's five people out here, like. I know it's wrestling, but it's just making your officials look like dumbasses is never good. And the second they're out, it's like, you're all out of here. I don't know. If they want to make like little subtle changes, that would be one. Now, you're not managers, get the fuck out. But they need them because that's the only way they can get finishes really right now. So, and then... Oh, Oba and Otis. Not as good as their NXT match, by the way. But throwing Otis is still a pretty impressive feat. So,
that throw was definitely more impressive than the powerbomb. Oba almost lost that one.
Well, I don't think Otis was helping him out much.
No, he was not.
He looked very unsteady.
Yeah.
And Oba did everything he could. But yeah, that power, he did not pop him up, that's for sure. But no. The idea but that he did out, power
everyone
bombs,
cheered, everyone's, and it's, everything's, everyone had a good time.
Exactly.
I still think the whole Oba Femi Oba challenge thing is stupid because no one should want to face Oba Femi.
I like your idea that it comes to an end when no one shows up.
Yeah. Yeah, no one should show up. No one should want this. People should be forced to... Oba Femi should be booked like Late Era Undertaker or Andre the Giant in the territories. He shows up when some heel has run his mouth too much or has run roughshod, and their punishment is to face this babyface monster. Or if a face is being beaten down 2-on-1 and he needs a partner... And by God, it's Andre. By God, it's Undertaker. By God, it's By God, it's Oba Femi. That's how he should be booked.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens though.
But we'll see.
But, I did find it funny that Liv mentioned she had to watch Netflix to find out what's going on the Judgment Day. Nice ad inside of the show. I know I'm missing something that happened. Something else happened on Raw. Well, they did kind of start making like a little triumvirate of, Joe Hedry instead of LA Knight. with the Street Profits and Seth, you know, telling them they need to just get along, at least, you know, for the common enemy thing. But, yeah, suspicious or conspicuous by his absence was LA Knight.
Yes, because his feud, his post-WrestleMania feud was supposed to be Gunther.
Yeah.
And that's not happening now.
He can't catch a break.
He cannot. No.
So, and that's just one of those things that doesn't make sense. The crowd loves him no matter what.
I mean, we were just in that. He peaked when there were other baby faces they wanted to push more.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's pretty much it.
And it just sucks because I'm sure he's probably still makes money.
He was sacrificed at the altar of Cody, much like Sami Zayn, and maybe some others you could name. He wasn't allowed to beat Roman Reigns.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't see him as a top guy. I think that's pretty obvious, which is crazy because I know you don't need the title if you're extremely popular. But that is kind of how you make someone red hot and then white hot after a while. But, you know, we had the weird standoff backstage with the Judgment Day and Becky and Lyra Valkyria. And they were just like, no.
Becky? Bailey, you mean?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, did I say Becky? Sorry. Oh, Becky. Yeah, Becky was out there with Sol. Poor Sol. Those slippery ropes come into play again.
Yeah. But people didn't seem to hold it against her, so it was fine.
Yeah, it's still a fun move. So,
we are pushing these NXT people hard.
Yeah. I that's what you should do, though.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen a
finite amount of time to get people over.
Yeah, but so how many times we've seen really? NXT people come in and they just shit on them?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, yeah, there's no reason to like develop these people, get them comfortable, get them into a character, you know, that obviously will evolve. But they got the character, they know what to do, and then you go, all right, so we're asking to job you out and make you be a learning factor. Like, wait, what? So, you know, she slipped. It wasn't the end of the world. Everyone recovered nicely. Everyone talks about her debut. Good. She should beat Becky for the Intercontinental title too. So,
yeah.
I feel like there's something missing from this show, but I can't pinpoint what it was.
I can't remember what it either.
Yeah, but it was an enjoyable. Oh, duh. Well, they're not the Creeds, but.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell were their names? Bluto and Julio?
Julio?
I think it was Julio.
Bluto and Julio Credo?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. You know, I mean, they're not hiding the fact that it's Chad Gable, right?
Right, like, no, they're not.
So.
But, oh, my God, was Michael Cole burying this?
To the point
that if The Undertaker wanted to go to his house, knock on his door, pull him out on the front lawn and beat the shit out of him, I wouldn't blame him. It's like they're partially trying to fuck with his baby. This thing that they own.
Yeah, the thing is, this angle doesn't work here. It's working down there. So leave it down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he was more burying the Creeds than anything.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because even in Mexico, they were Julius and Brutus. Like, they weren't.
But he did call everyone phony luchadors.
True. Well, and I guess that's kind of a misnomer, too, because the Mexican people seem to have embraced the second El Grande as a luchador.
And Graves is trying. See, I don't know what's happening here. It's like does Vince call Michael Cole during the broadcast or something? Like, why is he doing this? Like, why is he mocking this whole thing that's meant to make money in Mexico and hopefully grow this business to the point where they can get, like, Telemundo or whatever the fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. especially because they have, that's like the big money angle for their next show. So, you know,
I don't get why they're having Michael Cole being dismissive about it. I don't like you own this thing. You want it to be successful. What are you doing?
Because you really want people to watch. I mean, I know it's YouTube, but people will still watch. You still make money on YouTube. So you don't want to like shit on this stuff and turn people away from your company's product. But I don't know. It's funny. I mean, people were
asking.
For whatever
reason, during these El Grande segments, 2011, Michael Cole comes back. And I don't understand why, what we're trying to accomplish here.
Maybe he's the voice of reason and does understand, hey, this doesn't work here, so he's shitting on it. Doesn't mean it's right, but maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, it's dumb. So, but yeah, I'd be remiss if we did not mention the Battle of the El Grandes, which is coming to a head in 2 weeks. I have not watched AAA this week yet. I forgot.
3 weeks. It's still 3 weeks. It's on the same day as Clash in Italy, so I can watch two wrestling shows in one day.
Nice, cool.
I'll enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, what's that? Clash in Italy is that's June. No. Clash in Italy is May.
Yeah. It's May 30th. That'll be an afternoon show, and then the AAA show will be at night.
All right, God. All right, we're doing this again. Where there's a lot of events back to back to back. So
yeah.
Well, that seems like a good place to stop confusion. So, well, hopefully we don't have any corporate cutdowns. I know my paycheck this week was humongous, so we'll have to renegotiate off the air with some of the other talent we have here. It's just mind-boggling that one person makes $47 million and tells somebody making $500,000 that you're making too much. You could eat my fucking ass. So, and... Man, what's Mark Cuban doing with all his money? You know, like, go to Court Bauer and be like, listen, I want some real wrestling, but Major League Wrestling's not a bad name. Let's get some actual money into this. And if not, just make your own. Like, where's Freddie Prinze Jr.? Where's his league already? We need a fifth or a fourth or sixth and seventh.
Well, Sarah Michelle Gellar got her Buffy reboot canceled, so money might be tight over there.
Yeah, could be. But so
you're not allowed to waste our money on this shit anymore.
Yeah, this pipe dream is nonsense. You worked there for 2 years. You used to be an actor. God, so did I. So, but anyways, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, everyone. Be back later this week with another show about stuff. Maybe not as cantankerous or drunk. Yeah. So no guarantees. I'll let Chris take us out. Take care.
All right, everybody. Check us out on all your favorite podcast platforms, or click play on that website we send you to, junkradio.com. That apparently is getting 48,000 views a month somehow, yet your listenership numbers aren't going up at all. In fact, they may be going down. So how about helping us out there, fuckers? Later. Bye.